The topic of the forum is patriotism. I looked up the word in the dictionary, and I put a dictionary definition on the board. Most dictionaries agree that patriotism have to do with being a lover or with love of one's country. And fatherland, because it really comes from the Greek word for fatherland, patris. Greek word for father is behind that word. Patris is actually the Greek word for fatherland. And one of the things I reflected on as I thought about that definition is, would our definitions be different if we had the word matriotism or matriotism? In other words, if we talked about motherland more than fatherland, would our understandings of the content of that concept be different? We may want to return to that. My name is Charles Lutz. I'm a staff person from the ALC National Office in Church and Society. And I have with me two people who've agreed to make brief statements about what patriotism means to them. We're not going to try to define the word this morning so much as talk about its meanings. What are the varieties of meanings of patriotism? And one thing I hope we can talk about at some point is, does the meaning of that idea change from country to country? That is there a distinctive U.S. understanding which is different from the Canadian understanding, perhaps? We have some Canadians in the village. Perhaps there'll be some Canadians joining us in the forum. The two people who've agreed to make some opening comments about what patriotism means to them are Lindy Cedarblade on my left, and on my right, Nancy Vignek. And I've asked Lindy if he would go first, or I am asking him if he would go first, and say what patriotism means to him. You cannot have a half hour for this, Lindy. You can have a minute or two.
Chuck, you told me a minute or two.
That's
and
right.
As a result, I decided that if I was going to do it in a minute, I had to prepare at least 2 hours.
And then boil it down.
And then boil it down, and then cut it after that. So I'm going to read what I have written, and I'm going to think of this as very personal. This is me speaking. This is not a general concept. This is me. This is what patriotism means to me. By birth, I am a citizen of the United States of America, and I cherish this privilege by paying my legal share of taxes, seeking to be informed as I exercise my right to vote, and obeying the laws of the land. Where my conscience dictates otherwise, I must exercise my constitutional rights to protest and work for their change. I recognize that my upbringing, education, economic status, and religious philosophy give me many privileges, and I see my country as fulfilling its role when it deals justly with those less privileged because of social distinction or other man-made barriers. Because of my relationship and commitment to the God of Jesus Christ, I am also a citizen of the world. This enables me to be empowered through my prayers, relationships, and actions to use my influence and resources in working with others to establish his kingdom of love in the hearts of all his creation.
I'd say there's about 2 hours worth of stuff in there. Draw it out. Thank you. Draw it down to 2 minutes. Thanks, Lindy. Nancy.
I'd like to ask how many of you came to the flag raising and the reading of the Declaration of Independence. Good. Then most of you will have a notion of what I'm talking about. I found that that time there expressed very, very well what patriotism means to me. I'm sure you all noticed that our singing could not have been described as a rousing chorus. And I don't think that that is only because it was early in the morning and our voices weren't quite tuned up yet. I think the songs we sang are wistful and melancholy songs. The Star-Spangled Banner, We Shall Overcome. When we listen to those songs, we have to remember that our country began in a history of violence and wars. The dreams of unity and freedom have not been realized fully. When we listen to the Declaration of Independence, we remember our own history of oppression, and we have to remember, I'm sure all of you picked up on those words about the savages, we have to remember our own oppression right at the very time that we were being oppressed. And then we have to confess, too, that we are still in the process of oppressing folks in our own country and throughout the world. And of course, I don't mean that that's all we do. We do many good things that we can be proud of. But we have to remember the other side of what our presence is. And I have to say that I long to be proud of my country. I remember from junior high a song we used to sing, "This is my country, land of my birth. I pledge you my allegiance, America the bold." And it ended with, "The grandest land on earth," or something like that. I don't think I have the exact poetry, but you get the notion. And I long for that. And I long to be proud of my president. I would like to be able to say, now that woman or that man, whichever the case may be, is someone I can admire. And I have confidence in that leadership. That person seems to be someone who thinks clearly and cares for our world. But I have to confess that I'm very ashamed of my country at times. Ashamed of all of those aspects of history that I talked about, and ashamed of our failure to realize what our hopes and our dreams are. And alongside that, I'd like to stress that I don't place any hope or trust in government. I don't believe that if we just had the right form of government, then in fact all the shortcomings and sinfulness of human nature could be overcome, and we would all be able to live together in peace. And along with that, I'm very grateful for the form of government that we do have, that I don't feel entirely powerless. I don't feel entirely powerless, and I'm sure that people living in other kinds of countries with other kinds of governments are completely powerless. And with that, I feel a great responsibility to pay attention to my country's history, both its lofty ideals and its dismal failures, and to pay attention to my government in all the ways that are possible, to think critically and to evaluate, to vote, to write to my congressman, and all the things that you talked about. I think patriotism in the United States means to let freedom soar for all people in our nation and in the world.
Thank you. Okay, now I'd like to suggest that we simply open it to general discussion, and I'd like to propose that we do that by word association initially. What words do you associate with patriot or patriotism? Do you have a comment first?
Well, it keys right into where you're headed, because I had not taken the time to think about this, but the words that come out as key, normally what would pop in my head, and one that Nancy used often, and I think Linda used a couple of times, is pride, and pride of country. Mm-hmm. Whereas the key word in the definition is love, and love for country.
Yeah.
And those are two very different things. And I think, in terms of my own personal experience, of having lived in Wales, and there, having heard them sing their national anthem, it makes me emotional now to think of it. And that is a love song. I mean, they love their country. It's land of my fathers. And it is sung so tears roll down people's cheeks when they sing it.
And they're talking about Welshness as distinct from Britishness,
yes.
Right?
Oh, yeah. It's yeah. Wales. Yeah.
Welsh patriotism means, so for some, they'd like to be a separate nation.
And our national anthem, dear friend of ours, says, instead of saying amen, it's always play ball. In terms of the use of the national anthem, is very different. It is not a love song for our country. It is a pride thing. And I think that's a two.
What's the content of our national anthem, really, if you analyze the words?
War.
It's war, yeah. It's military.
And worse than that, there's a real questioning. I mean, is that flag even going to be visible tomorrow? I really noticed that a lot while we were seeing them today. They weren't even boasting about the fact that they'd won anything. They were, I think, recognizing the violence that was all around them.
It's also not seeable.
Yeah, the range is too great. Wherever you started, it's either too high or too low for somebody. Yes?
Just to add a little bit about the Welsh, they have a word in the Welsh language which is Cyrraedd, and it means a longing for one's homeland. It is a word that we don't even have the equivalent of in our American English vocabulary. So there is a feeling in the Welsh people for their homeland that we don't even have, or we would have a word for it. We would be able to say, this is what this is. It's a longing, and it's more than a longing. It's everything. I don't even know for sure. I couldn't describe it. I couldn't define it. But you say Cyrraedd for in Welsh to those people, and that's a feeling they have for their country that we don't have.
It's because it's small, don't you think? We're so big and we're so powerful. Nobody has.
We're so diversified.
And diverse, yeah. Diverse,
yes.
And we have states that are the size of countries, and it's easier to work up a patriotism for a state, I think, than it is a whole big United States.
Another part of definitions in dictionaries that I didn't put on the board, just to echo what you were saying, is pride of country or pride in country, and still another is zealous support of. I noticed the word zealous repeatedly in dictionary definitions. Zealous support of, and we might even analyze what is zealous, what does zeal mean. Other associations with patriotism.
Duty.
Duty, obligation. What else?
Parades.
Okay. Others? What kind of music?
Martial.
Do we label patriotic music? Martial? Warlike music? Exclusively that? Can you think of any songs that are not warlike?
America Beautiful?
Battle of the
Republic. Well, that is kind of warlike. The one I think of as not warlike is America the Beautiful, which has often been proposed as a national anthem to replace the Star Spangled Banner.
My country tis of thee.
My country tis of thee.
That's Britain's. That's England's.
The tune is British, certainly. The words, I guess, originated here, but it's God Save the King, God Save the Queen. Nancy.
Lift every voice and sing.
Okay, do you all know what that is, what she's referring to? It's in the LBW. It's the so-called black national anthem by James Weldon Johnson, the poet. Yeah, black poet. Yes,
American
Jenny.
American folk song. We are the every man and
boy. Say that again.
American folk song.
As patriotic music. Okay. Yes.
The hammer song.
What's the hammer song?
Peter, Paul, and Mary the Weavers.
If I had a hammer, I'd ring out freedom.
The other, what was the other one?
This land is your land.
This land is your land. Yeah. What do you got?
This land is my land, from the redwood forest to the New York Island.
Yeah. Blues and jazz.
Okay, now you're defining patriotic music rather broadly. I think more broadly than most Americans would if they hear patriotic music.
Yeah.
Yankee Doodle.
John Philip Sousa marches. That really is patriotic.
Okay, that's really patriotic.
That's it.
What do you think about that question? Is patriotism understood or defined differently in different countries? We've had a suggestion from Wales that it is somewhat different. Does patriotism go automatically with military imagery?
Yeah, I think it is very different in different countries. I come from Germany, and their patriotism, you don't do it anymore. Not now. You're not brought up to be patriotic. If you do that now, there's a bad cling to it.
Is that a result of World War II memory?
Yeah, right.
That's interesting.
So, in school, we don't have, you don't sing the national, we learn it, But we don't pledge to the flag and these things like we do it here in school.
And you've replaced Deutschland, Deutschland, Über alles with
another.
You don't sing that anymore. That's associated with the past.
Yeah,
you've got a new. I still like the tune.
Yeah, we still have the same tune, we just don't sing that.
You don't sing those words. Yeah.
But so there is, yeah, in England or France, yeah, there's this different feeling in the different countries.
Yeah. So in your history, patriotism was a love of fatherland was associated very much with militarism.
Well, yourself. Now it is.
Yeah, and now it's being rejected.
Right.
So you don't have something like the 4th of July in Germany these days.
Okay.
How do you celebrate nationhood in Germany these days?
You can't because you're not even American.
I don't know. I don't think we have something equivalent to 4th of July.
That's very interesting.
I wonder, too, if it isn't only memories of your past that you cannot celebrate, I mean, that you cannot say we won the war or whatever. Mm-hmm. I wonder, too, if there isn't a fearfulness in terms of almost mindlessness that can happen with patriotism, that people gave up their right or their ability to think about what was happening.
Okay, is the statement, my country right or wrong, a patriotic statement? That's what you're getting
yeah.
at. You talked about it too. Is that a patriotic statement as you understand patriotism?
I see it expressed by many people.
Do you agree with it, with that statement, my country right or wrong?
I think that's a very dangerous form of patriotism.
Can you define patriotism in a way, do you, any of you, define patriotism in a way that includes protest? Dissent.
I think it's our responsibility.
In this country, you know, it's not, it's much easier in this country than maybe in other places to protest and dissent.
I think that's true, but then why is it that so many among us say one who is not willing to fight in one of our wars is not patriotic? I mean, where does that come from? Can you be a conscientious objector and a patriot? According to our theory, and our philosophy of what it means to be part of this nation, yes.
And our laws.
Our laws provide for at least a kind of conscientious objection, all war objection. Selective objection, no. You do not legally qualify for that. But I remember during the Vietnam War, very often it was said that those who, out of conscience or whatever, refused to fight in that war were not being patriotic. You all remember that.
And those who criticized the president were not being loyal. We were not doing our duty. That you should obey the president because he's an authority. And my response to that always was, I believe it's my responsibility to think about what's happening. And that I think that's what our government theoretically is based on. That we all pay attention, that we allow those in authority to know what our convictions are, and we trust that they will pay attention to what we say and govern according to that. Now that's theoretical and that's idealistic, but I believe that's what our government is based on.
Worst things, like in the Vietnamese War, you were supposed to have your headlights on if you supported the war, and things like that. That if you didn't have your headlights on that day, you were not patriotic and you were probably communist.
It was a way of sorting us out
into
good and bad, yeah. Barbara.
When I hear that statement, my country, right or wrong, it sounds like, I mean, there are problems with it that I have, but on the other hand, I think that we who are sort of left-wing people have let the right portray us as unpatriotic because we've been unwilling to say a sort of modified form of that, and I guess I really think that your country is like your family, kind of, that you have to be willing to say, I'm an American, I'm not going to try to renounce that fact, but yet I'm not always happy with it. And so there is a sense in which you'd say, my family, right or wrong, yeah, you hate the wrongs in your family, you recognize them, you know what they are, you're not proud of them, but yet you don't try to renounce your family and find another one. And I think that we who are on the left need to be willing to say that we're patriotic we and do some flag waving and that kind of thing and not be seen as unpatriotic, because then it's like you're protesting within a love for your country or out of love for your country, which I think is really important. And I guess, well, I first learned to be a patriot when I lived in France my junior year of college, and I just started longing for the American wide open spaces and American character and all that again. And for me, what the bottom line was that I couldn't convince anybody in France to eat corn, not to even try it.
That was animal food.
Right? Yeah, yeah, only pigs eat corn.
Only pigs.
Just so narrow-minded. And that just for me was epitomized the American character of being willing to try new things. I didn't ask them to like corn, I just wanted them to try
it. Try it.
I just think that there is something about the American character. I mean, we are Americans, and to not be willing to admit that fact and sort of live within that is letting the right take over patriotism. And I think that we would be better off as sort of left-wing or radical or whatever people if we would do more flag-waving and yet say, because we love our country, we're protesting. Because we love our country, we have to renounce this, that, or the other thing. But it's out of patriotism that we do these things.
Yeah, I remember during the Vietnam years that the left really let the right take over the flag. Mm-hmm. The left, in fact, at times trampled on the flag, burned it, deliberately scorned it. And that was a great offense to a lot of Americans who may have shared their views about the war being very questionable, but did not appreciate that kind of symbolic act of rejecting the flag and all it represented. Herman, you had your hand up.
I can say exactly the same thing. I came out of
corn.
About corn? Well, you're an Iowan, right?
I would affirm that part very much. it came out of our experience living in Canada during the 1950s. That was before the Vietnam. During the McCarthy era and things like that. And there was a sense in which being outside of the country, you find it difficult to really accept the responsibility for being part of the country. And part of returning to the United States is accepting the responsibility. I think, in fact, that I heard that original saying, America right or wrong, but whether it's right or wrong, it is my country. So it emphasizes the fact that we have to share the guilt of our country also.
Yeah, does anyone remember who said it or wrote it? The full statement, as I recall, goes something like this. My country, may she always be right, but my country, right or wrong, which is just a little different nuance. She is still my country. It is still. What pronoun do you use about country? I was thinking about that earlier. In Russia, it's always Mother Russia. They don't talk much about the fatherland, I'm told. They talk about Mother Russia. That which gave birth to me is my country. We tend to talk more about fatherland. That was very common in my understanding of my German past, that it was always Vaterland that my family talked about, the fatherland. You want to talk a little bit about that, the gender of country?
Yes. Wasn't there also a bumper sticker out that used to just raise my hackles? I can't remember the first part, but I think it was like United States, love it or leave it.
Yes.
You would love it with, I mean, you could not like some of the things it was doing without leaving it.
Yeah, right. Back here.
I wonder if the occasions for people feeling patriotic though don't tend to be military because of those incidences that draw us together. I think of 1776, the Civil War, World War II,
hostage crises.
Yeah, those kind of things when you're threatened are like a family that has to work together or a community that has some tragedy. They're pulled closely together. Patriotism for me is that pulling together, and maybe it's not such a coincidence that usually involves military, because I mean, what other? I remember the night that they put the man on the moon. I heard other places that were excited and all that. We kind of took that as, you know, that's fine. It's to be expected or something. And that would have been a sort of positive occasion for pulling together. But so I think of the songs or the events sort of that draw patriotic feelings out of me, they happen to almost all be military because it's a time when the nation had to pull together.
Or at least some kind of competition with other nations. I think of the Olympics last year and how great a fervor there was in this country of a patriotic sort, I suppose you'd say. And it had to do with, it wasn't maybe totally that, but it had to do largely with triumphing, I think. must it always be that way? Yes?
Regarding the Olympics, was there ever a poll taken to whether people really felt patriotic or that was just a total commercial act?
Well, of course, it was some of each.
Part of your opening ceremonies, we turned it off because we couldn't stand it. I would much rather have them doing the Coke commercial that they had on, which I thought was very good, where they had all the different peoples, you know,
yeah,
because our country really represents the world. That what I would rather have seen than the opening ceremony, which I was an affront to me, quite honestly, I was an embarrassment.
On that point about the Coke commercial, I remember this spring when my wife and I were in Japan for a couple of weeks, thinking how different our two countries are. In Japan, there's a very strong sense of foreignness, and that's been true for centuries. If you're not Japanese, you're not Japanese. Whereas in the United States, we don't have that sense of foreignness at all, because we have been able to accommodate all sorts and conditions of people, not always with great justice, but we have at least been able to accept diversity, somebody mentioned. The Japanese are very uncomfortable with diversity. And if you're Western, if you're even Chinese or Korean, you're different in Japan. The United States is, I think, remarkably, probably among all the nations of the earth, the most able to accommodate as new Americans anybody who comes. Southeast Asians, Salvadorans or whatever. We have problems these days with defining who's legal here. But eventually, all kinds of people become accepted. I don't think there are many other countries where that's true. Well, they have a diversity of peoples, I understand. I've never been there. And yet, I think at the heart of that nation is Russianness. They're only a little over half the population, but all the others are viewed as kind of minority peoples.
Of course, they don't have much people of color like we do. It's mostly ethnic groups.
Yeah.
And they're all stupid.
Yeah, Dan.
Mentioned, I felt this coming back to, we were in New York City in Washington, D.C., right after coming back from, and it was so good to see all kinds of people together, you know, even if there are a lot of injustices, you know, there. Then the second question I'd like to raise is a question of pledging allegiance. You know, how, you know, when my only pledge of allegiance is to God, you know, I find myself, I can't say those words anymore. You know, pledging allegiance. And I don't think that means I'm not patriotic and I don't have love for my country. But what do I do about that when I really have only one allegiance?
Do you feel that is because those words require you to make some kind of absolute allegiance that you're not prepared to give, because that's to God alone?
Yeah.
Okay, others of you want to comment on that?
I interpret the words for myself.
Yeah. See, I guess I've never interpreted the Pledge of Allegiance as any kind of absolute allegiance. That's how
just
I would get around it.
Together.
Well, but allegiance to this country rather than others.
Yes.
Just as a quick remark to that, it just crossed my mind. Talking about full allegiance, we have two adopted children that are Korean. And if you want to really freak out, go to a naturalization ceremony and listen to what those people agree to if they become citizens of the United States. I thought, I never agreed to anything like that.
You were born a citizen.
But the government can move you at will.
What, such as? Give some examples. What do they agree to?
They can request you to be in a certain job, regardless of if they can move you for a job, if it's in the national defense. They can move you.
Talking about our country.
Yes. I said to myself, we have to do it. I mean, it was mind-boggling, this statement.
In time of national emergency,
they can move you, or
at least a naturalized citizen, they can move you to any area, to do any job that they assign you to.
I wasn't aware of that. I've never been to one. Have any of you been to a ceremony of naturalization?
I think that's probably true for us, too.
Is that how the Japanese would move? To Manzanar or these camps there?
No, but what I thought when I read, I heard the statement is that any citizen of the United States, that's the allegiance, they're pledging to their government.
On the removal of the Japanese Americans, incidentally, many of them, I think I've read over half, were citizens.
Yes,
were not naturalized citizens, but two, three generation citizens. And that has been generally understood in later times as being against our own law, what we did, because it didn't follow due process. There may have been some threats to security, but they were never individually investigated. they were, because of ethnic identity alone, as a group, removed. And that, I think, is an injustice, one of the injustices of our past. Elmer.
Just remind me that somebody who wants to come up on volunteer staff is arranging the naturalization ceremony in Seattle. She'll be here next week. We'll have a chance to talk to her about it. I'm worried about Daniel and his Pledge of Allegiance to Karen. If he only has one allegiance. I wonder how he defines that.
Do you agree you have only one allegiance in your life? He says, I'm going to have to think about that. It sounds to me like what Elmer is pushing for is that we all have one absolute allegiance if we are believers, but we also have a lot of relative allegiances.
But I don't get up in the morning and put my hand over my heart before Karen.
When do you do it? At night?
Say a liturgy. I mean, there's almost something that gets religious.
Right.
Especially when they have the...
But you probably did it once, in a sense, when you were wed. You probably pledged your allegiance or your troth or your what, whatever we pledge.
Covenant.
Your covenant.
To tag onto that, do you not reaffirm that without going through what we're doing when we give a pledge to the flag, such as we're reaffirming. And many people have gone through not just a reaffirming of their marriage vows or reaffirming of their thinking. So I think it's how you choose to use the words. You have one allegiance, but I think I go on. We do. It's a way of reaffirming. And I think what you said, it's not just my country right or wrong, but it's the full connotation of the statement. This is our country,
mm-hmm.
and we do need to think about and express our opinions, and that's what makes the country what it is. Be it right, be it wrong, or somewhere in between. We have that diversity. We have come out of that diversity. Many of the people who came at the very beginning of our country, they were the riffraff. They were the riffraff of the world, because if they weren't, they would have stayed and enjoyed the fruits of their homeland, but many of them came. They had been persecuted. So we are a nation of persecuted people, certainly not all. And we're dealing with the human nature. We are weak. We are not always right. That's why we have Jesus Christ.
I want to begin to do the same thing with that as with my country. Or what, as we were talking about with patriotism earlier, instead of having patriotism go with certain attitudes, because after all, the allegiance ends with liberty and justice for all. And if we would emphasize that element of that, that there would be something to plug into and for us to work hard at.
I just think of one symbol for me of this, the tension between allegiances, and it's the presence of the national flag in the mm-hmm. chancel. How do you want to talk about that a little bit? How do you feel about that? What do your churches at home do with that custom? Do you have it or do you not have it? And how do people, I know people feel very strongly if you try to change that. Once it's in the chancel and then you remove it, that is offensive to many people. Is that a good idea or a bad idea, Nancy?
I wanted to ask you a question. I had heard that the reason why churches began putting those flags in the chancel was during the Second World War, when some churches were identified as predominantly German, and they put mm-hmm. those flags yeah. in there yeah. to show that, in fact, they were...
It could have happened in the First World War as well.
Yeah, I suppose. Yeah. Is that
some of us come out of those churches rumor? In this country. I think that's probably part of it, to show loyalty to this country in congregations that were identified as German. We, during early World War II, Mom, we belonged to a congregation in Lime Springs, Iowa, which was called in the community, which happened to be Welsh, by the way. It was a predominantly Welsh community in northern Iowa. We were called the German Church, remember? And we still had German language service maybe once a month.
Not at Lime Springs, never had German service.
Well, why was it called the German Church? But it was called the German Church. And
very new, your father was the first pastor.
Resident pastor, full time, and he was called a Nazi early in World War II because it was identified as the German church.
I was wondering whether you remember, how old were you when he went to the army? When he went
about
to
12, military chaplaincy.
I was wondering whether you remember what really prompted him to get interested in going as a chaplain.
Well, I remember talking with him after the war, and he said that he felt one factor was his need to prove to that community that he was loyal to this country.
That's exactly
which
right.
Which is interesting. Mm-hmm.
That's what got him interested in going, because he was accused of being pro-German, isn't that
yeah,
the term?
Yeah, and I remember the term Nazi being used.
And
just because of German ethnic identity. He was non-political. He really was.
Yeah. This maybe would get a little personal, but I was wondering...
Forums can get personal.
Mm-hmm. I was wondering whether you felt particularly patriotic about him going to the Army. You were the oldest one of my children, and one of your younger brothers told me not too long ago that he was resentful at the time that he went. He felt like his father was deserting his family. That's your...
Yeah.
Not your next youngest brother.
You know, they're like...
Let's see, now that was the third one. I don't recall being resentful, but I was older, and I guess I remember feeling pride.
Well, did you feel any patriotism?
Oh, yeah, sure. And as a kid of...
I don't think the rest of my family felt any of that.
As a kid of 12, I remember being in fascinated by the war maps that were in the newspapers and following the battle lines. And also, at one point, you bought for some of us kids child versions of uniforms, military uniforms, which
yeah,
we wore for Sunday best.
Got and we were pictures, yes.
With belts and all.
Kids in uniform.
And how things have changed.
Others? Some of us came out of a history that precedes these wars that between nations, because as a young kid, I was subjected to meeting the Civil War.
Come on, you're not that old.
Some of these guys were bearing they just carried the flag in the Civil War. They were just kids, 12 years old, you understand.
The Grand Army of the Republic.
Yes.
Which lived for 100 years after the Civil War. Yes. Yeah.
Well, some of these guys were, they looked to be 90 to 100 years old in my mind at that particular time. But they could have been in their 60s, I suppose. But we had the feeling that they had preserved the nation.
The Union.
The Union.
The Union.
Mm-hmm. They had preserved the Union. So they got on a pedestal here, in my judgment. And it took me a long time to be able to write this kind of a thing, because this is on the basis of my innermost feelings, you see, that I couldn't talk about pride of country. I had to cherish, but I couldn't talk about pride of country. And I couldn't even use a militaristic word in this, because to me, patriotism has no meanings to that, because I have lived long enough to have now taken the second part of this of my allegiance to the God of Christ as my ideal of patriotism, so that the world. But I have to recognize, just like a denomination, I feel just as much at home in the Lutheran Church as I do in the Methodist Church. But I recognize that because of certain jobs that need to be done, they are done better, and that the only way they can be done is because groups of people get together to do them. And I guess I feel the same way with a nation. It has a boundary that it must serve those persons that are living within that boundary. But to now glorify that nation to a point where I was able to glorify it in my early days, because there were military people who had been in my mind the saving of our Union. I can't feel that way anymore. I have to now feel that the saving of the world is going to come as we enlarge our allegiance to a new height.
Would you be willing to share what period of our history it was that you first, as a child, became aware of nationhood and these Civil War veterans parading? Was that pre-World War I?
Oh, yes, it was. It was when I was a kid of 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 years old.
Which would be early in this century, huh? Okay, do you remember Spanish-American War celebration,
not
veterans?
Not particularly. They didn't make quite as much of an impression. Just a little bit, but not quite as much of an impression. I never felt that they had saved the nation, so I guess I had to put them on in kind of a pedestal.
I wonder what the difference in the Old South, the Confederate States during those same years was. What were they celebrating? There was a survivors of the Confederate Army group as well. Would the content have been different of their Memorial Day speeches and parades? It probably was. Anybody live in that region during those years? Ginny?
I can identify with what he's saying. And the fact that you still have the dames of the Civil War and the daughters of the American Revolution and the first families in Connecticut and the first families in Virginia, I think it's a part of the country that you live in the way that you feel. I think you can still find people who do not believe you're really American unless your families came here before 1776.
You feel that more in the East, I think, than in the West or the Midwest.
I'm saving
their
Confederate money.
That's not going to be rich, is it?
Who else hasn't had a chance to get into this discussion and would like to? Yes.
Was in before, but just a different flavor on this now. Times in my life presently when I feel patriotism or those kind of feelings, I think that in the town where we live now, Memorial Day has ritual and ceremony that goes with that, that is has much more patriotism involved in it than our 4th of July celebration in the town where I live.
Why is that? What's the difference between the two?
4th of July, the only community activity is a fireworks show, period. Whereas Memorial Day, I can't remember who wrote the orders to say that they should have Memorial Day. It was from the Confederacy, but they agreed that they should place flowers on Union and Confederate graves.
It came shortly after the Civil War, that custom.
And mm-hmm. It came out of Confederate background.
And it was proposed originally by a woman whose name I can't remember, but I recall it was a woman.
That, in terms of the community celebrating those who have defended our country or done things to pull it together, as has been talked about, is more celebrated on Memorial Day in Batavia, Illinois, at this point in history, than is done on the 4th of July.
Elmer.
My little town that I lived in for 27 years did the same thing. That was
a little louder, Elmer. I'm not sure it's picking up.
That little town I lived in Illinois did the same thing, but it was the worst of our approach to patriotism. Always identified with God. We were always right. We were all killing people in God's name, and very little about peace.
I'm afraid there's still some of that excess in the present day ones, but it is the one that is most associated with the country and more associated with 4th of July.
Carol.
Yeah, it seems to me important that somehow we've developed a new kind of patriotism that separates pride of country from military kinds of victories or engagements. And I'm wondering, what is it that would give this country a sense of pride and maybe unity in our in spite of our diversity, or maybe because of our diversity, more than just some popular songs or any kind of military engagement? I'm thinking, well, perhaps we should we could get some pride out of some accomplishments, such as say the Peace Corps, maybe some people here have some ideas about what we feel pride in.
Yeah, let's talk about that a bit. What could we move into the center, or try to, in our own observance, into the center of celebration of nationhood on these national days that would lift up things other than war and victories in war? I'm thinking just along that line of the, is it William James who wrote the essay on the moral equivalent of war? That you have to somehow find, if you're going to end war, you have to find a moral equivalent of war for uniting a people. and producing a fervor and a zealousness. Jimmy Carter tried to pick that up in his campaign against energy waste, and it didn't really go, but he used that analogy. Remember, we need a moral equivalent of war. What can that be? Here and then, Jean. Yeah,
you. One of the quick comments, and I can't speak firsthand because I'm usually back in the Midwest on the 4th of July, so I've never been to the actual celebration, but I think one of the neat things that Spokane does, the 4th of July is Good Neighbor Day, and the whole Riverfront Park is all the ethnic groups, and they have, you know, food, and that they, I don't think they sell it, they give it, don't I mean, samples of it, and, but anyway, it's the drawing together of all the peoples of the United States. And
so maybe celebrating our acceptance of diversity could be one part.
For this year, the week before the 4th of July, I can't think what they called it, was they were celebrating World Brother Day or something, you know, and then...
World Community?
Something like that, for a whole week.
I've only been there once on the 4th, and I don't recall that there was any focus on militarism. Fireworks at night.
Yeah, and then at the end they just have this big display of fireworks in the evening. But the day is strictly a gathering of people.
They didn't put a cannon in Riverfront Park.
They what? Are you questioning? I don't think so.
They used to always put a cannon in the park.
Oh, no, I don't think so.
I don't think so.
We've got the runners in the park for Bloom's Day. We've got statues of the runners all along the park.
Jean, did you have another comment?
Besides, I think as far as patriotism is concerned, I think that was one of Kennedy's underlying reasons for the space program, was to pull this country together behind that kind of effort in which we can take great pride. And I just don't know exactly why it didn't come off as it might have, unless, like our presidents, by the time the media gets through showing them, I haven't voted for a president. For years, I vote against the other guy.
You vote against the worst, rather than for...
Maybe there was just too much media, and people just got saturated with that.
Well, I can recall, though, having a lump in my throat on that July day in 1969, when the space landing, the moon landing was televised. Can't any of you recall that?
Yeah.
Nate.
Well, I think that the Olympics are the moral equivalent of war. You know, I mean, it's triumph, you know.
Yeah.
And it's us versus them.
It's still competition with other nations rather than celebrating the global.
It's a substitution.
Is it possible, short of the threat of a space invasion from another planet, is it possible that the people of the Earth can ever have the kind of allegiance to the whole planetary community that we associate with national identity? I mean, is that impossible to talk about without some outside threat?
I think
how do you feel about that?
Pardon? I think we're going to have to. I don't think that's a question of, you know, we can leave it like it is. We can talk to people in South Africa. You can pick up a phone and talk to them. We have satellites that can sit up there and just about watch a guy taking a bath. I don't think I think this is a big mistake by our country, by whatever country, that we were holding national patriotism versus an earth patriotism.
So in some ways it's already outdated because of the planetary oneness we are aware of in terms of economy, communications, etc. But we're still dealing with primary loyalties to about 160 sovereign nations.
Right.
And you're saying that's an anachronism. But how do we get beyond this present... this dilemma of the 160 allegiances and to the one, or can you have both?
Well, I think you can have both in many respects. We have many allegiances in our own country.
State loyalties,
yes.
Regional.
Regional, yes.
Ethnic,
right.
Denominational.
Mm-hmm. I think the exchange of students, people around it's kind of moving to see 250 students spend certain time in countries, and I think they're able to do that across the boundaries even now that are hostile. And who's going to, they talk about that from Ground Zero's perspective. You know, plus 5,000 children and American children in some Russian towns, and slow up the nationalism that would launch bombs. I mean, children and young people seem to have a way of getting in and causing one to feel. And bring those hostile people's children over here and learn something.
Are there any people in the room from Canada?
You're welcome.
wondering, we just indicate earlier that we'd come back to that question of when we had a contribution from Germany. Does patriotism look different in Canada than the way we've been talking about it in the United States?
I think the Canadians have a hard time really determining their identity because we're so close to U.S.
Yeah.
That it's almost like who we're not. I'm still American, although I feel more Canadian than American.
Your citizenship is U.S. still.
Here, but I've been a land immigrant here for 15 years and 16 years. And I find that, I mean, even things like the Pledge of Allegiance, when what Dan was saying, I almost could identify with that feeling. It's harder for me to think of it. Not in the sense of doing it occasionally, but I guess I think of children doing it every day.
In school, as a liturgy.
It's a liturgy.
Becomes a liturgy.
That kind of gets me. I'm not quite sure.
Is there nothing akin to that in Canada?
No, because a friend of ours who is a missionary now in Peru was an American who became a Canadian before he left for Peru. And he said the hardest thing for him, and what all of us who are Americans thinking of becoming a Canadian, the hardest thing is to think of the allegiance to a queen.
Yeah.
I think that's the biggest flaw.
Yeah.
But his rationale was that he suddenly realized that the queen is a figurehead like the flag is in the U.S.
Uh-huh.
So it was simply replacing a piece of cloth. I mean, a person can wear a piece of cloth, but in the same sense.
Same kind of symbolism.
So I suppose that's it, except that there isn't basically loyalty to the queen among people. I mean, it's sort of like something a lot of people wish wasn't there anymore, except for the real, the royalist group, of course.
And I would guess that Canadian identity, whatever it is not primarily wrapped up with military victories,
not at all.
Because that's not been your history.
And I think maybe that's one of the problems, because I took Canadian history course when we were really strange. I found it really fascinating, because there's a lot of really neat stories about Canada in its early days. But most of the people in my class were younger Canadians who were almost embarrassed by Canadian stories. We had some films, which I thought were good. I enjoyed them. They were embarrassed by them, by their heroes, because they're used to American heroes.
Oh.
And they can't...
They weren't as dramatic. They didn't measure up.
These are your people. Why do you feel that way? Because they'd be really critical when they watch films and so forth. But they're always comparing because there's so much American there because of the television. And,
yeah.
I mean, it's very hard to make divisions.
And the birth of the country did not come about through a war and a declaration of independence from the former allegiance. It came about evolutionarily, didn't it?
Yeah, so that the whole, what you were talking about needing an alternate to a moral equivalent to battle and war as something to bring you together, I think that's probably one of the things in Canada that's been hard, because there hasn't been this kind of sense of something that they can look back to and say, you know, we were all together in that, except for the wars they have been, and even then they get mixed up with Americans all the time. I mean, the Canadian forces have certainly done their things in all the wars, but it's the Americans who usually get taken.
They're grouped together with North America,
U.S. They get lost in it. Yeah. So that's almost a...
We've got about 5 minutes left. Yes, Doris hasn't had a chance to talk.
The moment that I felt most patriotic in my whole life was in August 1968, when we were in Prague and the Russians came in and took over Czechoslovakia. Then patriotism really rose in my soul. Because we had Russian tanks across from our hotel with the turrets pointed right at us.
Why did you feel that, do you think, at that time? What was going on in your feelings?
I was so happy that I was an American.